welcome to a brand new episode of KTZR, Cats and Jammer Radio, the official podcast of the cinematic Cats and Jammer. It's official, but it's not quite official yet, because we're kind of still breaking it in. I'm Nick of the cinematic Cats and Jammer, and I'm joined by Colin Flanagan, and I've always said her name, is it just pronounced Vivek?
It's Vivek, technically. Vivek. But although, if it makes it easier, I often go by V.
Yeah, I always call you V, or I've always said Vivek, so Vivek, now that I know.
Whatever works for you.
two fellow writers of the site as well, Colin being the newest writer, and V being a writer that I managed to snag forever ago, and he's doing awesome work. So how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing good.
Likewise.
So much enthusiasm.
You know, long day, full of politics and other non-movie stuff that I'd rather not talk about.
For those unaware, V is in Washington, D.C., in the heat of it all, fighting the fight. And, yeah. We can make you sound cooler and say everything you do is confidential. So, you know, you're doing the good things behind the background. And then Colin is in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
he's doing the complete opposite.
In the heat of it all.
Yes. You're fighting the fight in Las Vegas.
Like, but literally, you're in, like, the heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Not today. It's raining, but...
Oh, okay.
I didn't know it rained in Vegas.
Yeah, well, we didn't either.
I've been there once. Pretty cool.
Never been. I don't know if I will. Probably eventually. But anyway, today we are discussing DC Comics and Warner Brothers and what they plan on doing with their, I guess, their phase one, if you will, right after Man of Steel, and hot off the news of Ben Affleck being cast as Batman himself. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit, as well as how well we think Affleck and Henry Cavill will do together. And then we're going to go into future projects at DC and Warner Brothers, and then our own dream castings for a lot of other roles and some minor ones as well. And then we'll eventually end it with a little segue into how DC can handle the pressure that is built up from Marvel and what they've done. But then the Marvel discussion we're going to save for another episode. So, right off the bat, we'll start with you, V. What are your initial thoughts on the Ben Affleck casting?
Well, before I explain that, I guess I should probably say from the get-go that I've been, ever since Man of Steel came out, when Man of Steel first came out, I reviewed it very positively. Even though I kind of had a suspicion that it may not have deserved it, I think I really just wanted people to see it, and I also wanted, even though that was probably going to happen anyway, and I think I wanted people to, I really wanted desperately to like it, and to think that it really, that none of this was for nothing. But for the benefit of contemplation, I look back at the film and I really just don't think it works. And I think the reasons that it doesn't work are indicative of why this entire model for a DC Justice League project may not work itself. So, and ever since I kind of came to that realization, I've actually really been against this kind of general project. But if it's going to happen, you might as well do it right, or at least you might as well try and do it in an interesting way. And casting Ben Affleck is definitely one way to do that. And I do like the idea of him trying to portray Batman. I think he's grown very, very well, not just as an actor, but as a director. He has the appearance of someone who is mature, you know, after years of being not mature. And like that kind of, I think a lot of people would wonder might he be too Ben Affleck to be Batman? But I think that's sort of the wrong question. Can he be Batman in a way that doesn't, in a way that reminds us of Batman? And I think he can.
Yeah.
So consider me optimistic, at least partially so.
And I'm a lot like you, and all three of us have actually had the same discussion. I know, Colin, you feel the same with Man of Steel, is that on the surface it's kind of glossy and looks cool, but it's one of those movies, and kind of everything that came out this summer, that kind of really sits with you bad after a while, and you kind of realize, like, wow, why did I really like that at first?
With the exception of Pacific Rim for me. But yeah.
Yes. But I was the same, too, where I was kind of like, how is this going to work? And I kept lying to myself that it was kind of a really cool introduction to Superman, or reintroduction to Superman, and it kind of built a good foundation, but I don't know if it's almost that Zack Snyder and them kind of a little too deep in the shit, if you will, and I don't know how they can kind of bring it out, you know, especially with Batman being the darker character and the somewhat loose adaptation of The Dark Knight Returns and whatnot we'll get to. But, yeah, good points with Ben Affleck, and, like, from the very beginning, I'm probably one of the more outspoken fans of the decision. Colin, what about you? What were your thoughts?
I'm a fan, too. I just don't understand the hate, honestly. I mean, they always go back... The people always go back to Daredevil, and that was made, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, he has grown so much, and, I mean, I think he's a better director than an actor at this point. But, I really dig the choice. I mean, you know, people had the same reaction with Heath Ledger. They had the same reaction when, I mean, Chris Evans was the Human Torch. He was Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four, which we all know was a piece of shit. But now he's Captain America. I don't know. I like the decision. I think Affleck, he wasn't what I wanted, but I think he's the best choice that they picked. And I think that this, I don't know if that's true, but it seems like they're trying to get him to direct the Justice League, and this is them trying to shoehorn it in. But my only concern is that I don't know if Affleck's going to... I mean, is it 13 films they're saying he signed on for?
Something like that.
I don't know.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be committed to that many appearances. Personally, I don't.
Right. And I don't know if it's 13 appearances or if it's just 13 movies, and then that could relate to him writing and directing as well.
Yeah.
Because I know they really wanted him from Justice League. He turned
it down. If he's going to be in that many movies, he might as well get a shot to direct one of them. And
right.
And you can tell that Ben Affleck has really, really grown into directing, you know, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's still got some work to do, obviously. We've talked about in the past The Town, how it's got decent action, but... You know, the key word there is decent. It could have been better.
Right. And one thing that we talked about too that I would really like to see is that Affleck becomes a big part of the collaboration that's going on at DC, and that it's not just a Christopher Nolan show. It's not just a Zack Snyder show. And I think that Warner Brothers signing someone like Affleck as well is, you know, they're not just signing him for his acting ability, because that would just be stupid, especially for such a big contract that he supposedly signed. So I think if he can get involved with the screenwriting, with the directing, and help everyone out, I think that will be really beneficial as well. Because we mentioned that Zack Snyder, as stylized as he is pretty good at directing action sequences. It's the rest of the stuff that he has some trouble with. And I think that Ben Affleck's good at the rest of the stuff, and he's still working on figuring out how to film the action sequences. So if the two can find a middle ground where they can work off of each other, I think that would be incredible.
Well,
especially if Affleck is able to come in and polish the scripts as well.
That's a very good idea. I mean, I think the thing about Zack Snyder is, you know, I think he's incredibly talented, but as talented as he is, he ironically needs a lot of direction as a director. because, I mean, and I've said before, I did not think Watchmen was a very good film. I think it was a good effort. But I did not think it really worked, and I don't think Man of Steel worked. Zack Snyder was allowed to cut loose with a lot of the action, and that, you know, what he was able to make and how it looked, it turned out that part turned out great, and I think that's partially why the movie makes such a great first impression. Snyder's very much the reason it feels so polished, composed, and whatnot. But when you get down to the substance, when you get down to, you know, when you dig deeper to the bones, there's not much there, and it's because ultimately the screenplay was in the hands of Nolan and Goyer, and they're good at writing Batman. That does not translate into being able to write Superman. I think they all, and that's another problem, because, you know, the Justice League as an idea is not something that inherently spawns from Batman. If there's ever one comic or one comic book character that could very easily exist in his own vacuum, it's Batman.
Definitely.
You know, a Justice League is something that it spawns from Superman and Wonder Woman and the idea of teaming up and cooperating for the greater good. Batman tends to operate in his own little circle, and he sort of begrudgingly agrees to submit his talents, only to find out that his talents has been the missing link all along, and that's exactly what the team needs to, like,
exactly.
Go forward, you know.
Right. Justice League needs Batman more than Batman needs the Justice League.
Exactly. That's the perfect way of saying it.
That's definitely a theme that's throughout all incarnations of the Justice League, and that when he's part of the team, he's still the rogue agent that can kind of do whatever the hell he wants. And, you know, Diana and Clark are always like, oh, Bruce, you know, kind of like he's a kid that gets in trouble and does a really good job at just doing what the hell he wants and then pops up when he needs him. And, you know, Affleck in that role sounds kind of pretty damn interesting.
Yeah, and when it comes to, like, Batman needing a partner, I think, or rather cooperating, that's what he has Robin for. And I feel like Batman's character has grown over the history of comics with in tandem with Robin and because of Robin. And so that's why I would say that if Batman was, and Batman would probably agree with me, if you would ask him, like, who would you rather team up with in a normal basis, the Justice League or Robin, it would be Robin. Because Batman knows that he could do things his own way, Robin would do it as that way as well.
Right. That's a good point. Definitely.
I don't think I can ever think of Robin the same as thinking of Matt Damon.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think that's a good idea.
No, it's not. But
although I will admit, Damon would be an interesting grown-up Dick Grayson, but I think he's still too old to be a Nightwing or anything like that. But having, you know, obviously Damon's been brought to the table with everything because of Affleck and some of Casey Affleck and everything like that. Colin, you and I mentioned that Damon would be an interesting choice as a villain to see Affleck go up against that. But even then, you still have that built-in, you know, brotherhood between them that's just kind of like, just doesn't work. And, you know, like General Zod, for instance, and Superman, they're both from the same planet, the same realm. They're kind of the same person, or not the same person, but same people, if you will. Batman doesn't really have anyone like that I think that Damon could kind of fit in. Because I think that brother aspect could be played up, but I don't see how it'd be working without too many jokes surrounding it, which is just,
And you would not, like, that's the last thing that you need. Like, a DC filmography that is trying to establish its own identity and is trying to be very much itself while being faithful to the comic lore, you know, the last thing it needs is to get be brought down with, you know, with pettiness, and even if it was done in the spirit of fun, it would still end up being petty if it was just a bunch of jokes about how funny or ironic it is that two best friends are playing opposites in, like, the same movie.
It's very true.
Which would take away any tension, though.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it.
But the thing, too, I think that they'll really play a part in Batman versus Superman and then the eventual Justice League is that this is an older, more veteran Batman, and at this point, he's just not wanting to work with anyone. So, you know, having anyone to go up against that would be somewhat equal is kind of interesting. I forgot where I was going with this point. I just don't see a fit for that. As interesting as it would be, I'll admit, I would be curious about it more than I think it would be a good idea, if that makes sense. But with that in mind, you know, Affleck playing off each other, how do you guys think he's going to go up with Henry Cavill? And do you think Cavill was a good choice for Superman? And do you think that Affleck will be good up against him or with him in the end? Colin, let's start with you.
Well, in my mind, I think it's a good choice. But, like, as everything with this kind of thing, until I see it, I really don't have an opinion on it. But, you know, as of right now, I think they'll be good together. I mean, they both have the, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I don't know. I don't really have.
They both have the chin.
The chin, yeah. The chin.
Well, the chin matters more for Batman.
That's true. Earlier I said Batman all depends on the jowl in the cowl.
Yeah.
I just thought it sounded cool. But, Colin, what did you think of Henry Cavill as Superman?
I think he was great. I think that there needed to be a little bit more humor, more lightheartedness, but I think Cavill was fine. I had no problem with him as Superman at all.
Same here.
And I think Affleck will be, I personally think he will be a fine Batman. It's, you know, as V was saying, you know, it's going to be hard separating it from thinking he's just Ben Affleck in a Batman suit, but I don't know. I think we'll be fine. I don't think it's going to be the train wreck everybody thinks it is.
Okay.
That much is certainly true. In my case, you know, I consider myself optimistic about this because I really want to be, and I also really want to root for the guy because I like Ben Affleck, and I'm from Boston, so I'm a little biased on that. But the thing is, the other piece I would put to that is, Affleck is also very much the opposite of ideal. I mean, I don't think he would be anyone's first choice for, you know, for a physical specimen, you know, that is super rich of being a playboy, but is also secretly traumatized. I don't think people imagine, given the characters that Ben Affleck has oftentimes had to play, I don't think people would ever imagine him playing someone with a shallow exterior, but also a very profound, very troubled interior. He does have the look of Bruce Wayne, and I'm sure he could get physically fit enough to play Batman. But when people think Batman, I don't think they think Ben Affleck. So if there was ever going to be a problem, that would get into it. As for chemistry with Henry Cavill, I also think Henry Cavill was a fine choice. I think he's a great Superman. I would not blame him for what went wrong in Man of Steel. I think he was not the problem. If he's given a better script, I think he could make it rock. Although you do have to feel kind of bad for him that they're putting an Oscar-winning actor, or an Oscar-nominated actor and an Oscar-winning director to star as his, well, supposedly his equal, I guess, in some ways, in the same film, really taking away Superman's thunder.
And his sequel, nonetheless.
Yeah. That digs into another problem of this is a sequel to Man of Steel. It's supposed to be in the same line of continuity. I get that, but if it's a sequel to Man of Steel, why are we getting Batman in so soon? And why is Batman? And let alone why is he in the title? Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be one thing to have like a Man of Steel sequel that is all about Superman, and then have Batman come in and surprise us all, or have some kind of cameo, or do more to hint at a greater build-up towards the Justice League. Because I think one thing that Man of Steel 1 needed was more of everything. They needed more Superman. They needed more character exploration. They had enough action. They needed more of everything else.
Right.
And Man of Steel 2 needs to show how Superman changes the world and how the world changes Superman. Batman into the whole fray really gums up the works.
One thing too that I think is that Man of Steel lacked was the universe building. They had the Wayne Enterprises satellite, they had the LexCorp, stuff like that. But there was really no signs that this universe exists in any other hero's universe. And I think that bringing in Batman in a second movie is jumping the gun in that aspect, because the first film showed really no regard that other heroes were out there. And I know that they really want to build up on the fact that Superman is the first hero. He's the one that kind of starts it all and kind of gives all the other heroes the banner to get behind. But I don't know how that's going to play into an older Batman, if Man of Steel 2 is going to jump 40 years into the future or anything like that, which would work. I just feel like there's that big gap, though, that's going to be missing. And I don't know if maybe later they're going to come back and do a Man of Steel 3 that's a prequel or whatever, but...
It feels very rushed.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back, like, okay, when the first Iron Man came out, it was just a standalone film until the after credits with Samuel Jackson bringing up the Avengers Initiative.
Right.
And then you had the Incredible Hulk come out that same summer, and then Iron Man made a cameo at the end of that. And that's what really got everybody excited. Not a whole film, or what we're looking to be a whole film with Batman coming in and what we think is going to be stealing the show.
Mm.
It's just, it feels very rushed, and I don't know. It just feels a little clunky.
No,
it does. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to try and build a greater DC universe, Batman is not exactly the way to do it. He adds one city. Now, granted, it's a great city, and it's a great kind of environment to add, and it's always interesting when Superman comes to Gotham. But that is not a way to build a DC universe. That's not a way to build a greater problem and a greater set of complexities for the entire world and or the entire universe that would be a problem that the Justice League would be needed to solve. The thing about Justice League is that Batman may be one of the most essential members of both the Trinity and the Justice League, but he is, you can almost take him for granted. because everybody knows Gotham's there, but Justice League stuff doesn't often happen in Gotham. It happens elsewhere. They, you know, it's them transporting Batman up. They're giving him a ride. That's one thing. Another thing I would say is that what they're doing is all in the marketing, and not in the movies. And Colin was really hitting that point when he was talking about what Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk did with Marvel. They were using the movies to build a greater universe, and they weren't putting the cart before the horse. DC wants a Justice League franchise now, and they have to contort their movies. They have to contort the marketing of their movies and, you know, and everything they're gonna make and before that, in order to try and make that work and try and make it viable. And that's not the way to do it. You have to make them good movies first.
They were all standalones, is the thing. I mean,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
And here we're just, the second one is already, you got Batman in there. And personally, I want room to have Batman breathe. Like, I mean, we just got off Christopher Nolan's trilogy, and I love Batman to death, but I want a little bit of time to kind of separate myself from that universe. And especially with Man of Steel being so much like Nolan's universe. I mean, there were just so many like moments where I could see it being in Nolan's universe. And I don't know. It doesn't feel like they're setting it up the right way. And I personally want a couple more movies before I see Batman.
I agree. I mean, you have the same when you and that's what happens when you have the same story writer and screenplay writer who made Batman behind this. And you know, Nolan and Goyer both have a certain style to them. Nolan especially, he has a certain way of making his movies. He makes them, you know, he does it through a hyper-masculine lens. He uses mystery to explore greater ideas, and that's his motif. But Superman is not exactly a vessel for that. When Nolan is handed something simple, the only way for him to make it work in his head is to complicate it. And Superman is supposed to be the most uncomplicated hero ever. What's supposed to be interesting is the simple way in which his limits and his limits and his morals are tested. Because I think Superman is sort of, a lot of people mistakenly say that Superman is just so boring because he has all the powers and he's invincible. But I think in the right hands, that's a beautiful way to tell a much more interesting and much more unique story, because you essentially take because that's a trope that in other stories is used as, you know, as means of advancing characters and their abilities to have fun and be all action heroes and whatnot. With Superman, you start out with all of that, so you take that narrative plot away, basically forcing the story to be more about his character, his mind, his morals, his enemies, and the world around him. And Man of Steel was all about his powers.
That's true. That's a very, very good point to end the Superman-Batman discussion. We'll come back to him in a little bit. But let's move on to The Flash. This is the next film that Warner Brothers has announced. The order goes Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, then The Flash, and then the Justice League movie. So obviously there's all these casting things about Ben Affleck as Batman, and then there was a rumor a while ago that Warner Brothers was going to do a Flash show on the CW, which could be the segue into a movie, and then the Arrow could even be a part of it all. But as the Flash right now stands, we really know nothing about the plans for the film and how he's eventually going to fit into the Justice League. So, Colin, what about you right off the bat? What do you think needs to be done with the Flash, and who do you think, why do you name like one or two people you think would be good for the role?
Okay, well, I think it needs to be stylized. Personally, I don't know much about the Flash, and I mean, I know he can vibrate through walls and is super speedy, but, he's like in the same category as Aquaman for me. I just, you know, the three are Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman for me for DC, so, the only two the first one is Jensen Eccles, which I know you want to, Nick.
Yes.
Which it seems to be everybody's as well. But my second one is actually, and this has no correlation to last night's episode, but Aaron Paul.
Yeah, bitch.
I personally think he'd be a fine Flash, but he has a little bit of a baby face, but I think
that's okay for the Flash, I think.
Yeah, I think it'd be alright.
Well, and it's also worth talking about too, which Flash direction to go with. Is it going to be Barry Allen or is it going to be Wally West? And they're very different characters. The Wally Flash is a lot more of the humorous one, and then the Barry one's a little bit more serious. And that also plays into the Green Lantern and what they're going to do with that. Because, Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern that Ryan Reynolds played in the movie, him and Barry Allen have a lot in common and a friendship as well. So, if you have Hal, you kind of need Barry. You can't have one kind of without the other in that way. And if they do want to play up that dynamic, at least. So, V, you're a little bit more knowledgeable about The Flash. What do you think?
Maybe a little bit. I actually always thought that even Barry Allen was funny. In a different, in a different kind of way. I mean, I know his demeanor is very serious, but how super serious can you be when your power is that, when your power is something like that? Maybe I'm coloring that, a little differently than others. Personally, I think of Barry Allen Flash. And when you think about it, let me segue to that, because you made a good point about Green Lantern, that a Hal Jordan Barry Allen character dynamic would be a very interesting idea. Well, the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie may have been really, really bad, and it absolutely was. But if you think about it, continuity wise, the place where it ended, it ended with a lot of room for going in a completely different direction in a sequel. To still have it count as part of the continuity and being like that episode that you can completely skip, but also because the events of it would not take away from anything else. And so you could theoretically, I'm not saying to take Ryan Reynolds. I mean, in the Incredible Hulk, you had Ed Norton do his whole thing, and then Mark Ruffalo took his place. But you could more or less you could have Hal Jordan and then you could have Barry Allen. For Barry Allen, I think if I were to pick anybody, it would actually be, and this is partially because I'm a huge Spartacus fan, but it would be Liam McIntyre. I think he does sort of look the part. He's a great action hero. At least he's become one. He's very physically cut. Well, at least he was during the show. He may have gotten a little fat because he got married after that. But I mean, I think he would be a good action hero, and I'd love to see him in more things. And he is good at playing the serious character with a lot of depth. He's not someone who makes faces. I think he would be great. As for Green Lantern, honestly, it could be anybody. You could put Patrick Wilson as Green Lantern, and I think it would have been fine.
Idris Elba.
Yes, but then that's
if you had Idris Elba, would that be Hal Jordan? Had Idris Elba, it wouldn't be Hal Jordan. At least I don't think. I feel like if you're gonna have Barry Allen, then you should have Hal Jordan. Otherwise, if you want a black guy to play in Green Lantern, and I would think a black guy is actually better to play Martian Manhunter. Whoever that would be, because you need someone. When I think Martian Manhunter, I think of I'm blanking on his name, but the actor in Star Trek: The Next Generation, I don't even remember his name.
What's his name?
He was a great character. I can't believe I forget his name.
LeVar Burton?
Yeah.
Reading Rainbow?
Wow.
I have no clue. I was not a huge Star Trek person.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think they need to overthink it. I mean, I love Idris Elba too, but I don't think you necessarily. I think shoehorning him into a DC universe might be limiting him in some ways. Because he clearly seems like an actor who's looking to do more, who's looking to be whatever he wants to be. And the problem is if you put a character into comic lore, the comic lore inspires its own continuity. You're inherently limiting him in a lot of ways, at least most of the time. So I feel like Idris Elba would, and I think he knows that, so I feel like he would want to avoid that.
I will always stand by Idris Elba, but that's
Denise more... Crosby. That's it. It's Michael Dorn. Michael Dorn is the one who I think when I think of Martian Manhunter, I think of someone who looks like Michael Dorn. He was Klingon Worf.
Yeah. Well, and just real quick, too, with Martian Manhunter, what I think they can do is, because I'm assuming that the character is going to be motion capture, is to just bring Carl Lumbly back, the guy that voiced him in the TV show, the Justice League TV show, because he's definitely got the voice, you know, for John Johns, and I associate him with it as well. And even he looks the part. He's a little bit older and everything, but, you know, Martian Manhunter is kind of Martian Manhunter. He doesn't really, you know, I'm assuming he'll take human form, like, once or twice, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
No, it doesn't have to be that big of a deal. I mean, he should not be. He should be Martian Manhunter.
Exactly.
It is cementing. It would be cementing a part of the DC identity to have him be Martian Manhunter, and they would need that.
And I think with Martian Manhunter too, that would be the introduction of aliens to the universe that they're doing as well. You know, yep. Superman's an alien, and you know, obviously General Zod's an alien as well. But
that's,
you know,
humanoid. I mean, that's kind of
yeah.
So he barely counts.
Martian Manhunter could be like an introduction to like Darkseid or something like that later on, which I'm assuming is probably the big guy they want to go after for the big movie.
Seems too easy, but yeah, it does seem like.
I think it's all about trying to beat Marvel to Thanos, because Thanos is Marvel's Darkseid. But that's true.
Yeah, but I don't want to get into this again, but Marvel's with what this DC setup. Marvel is doing it, to me, so well as of now, because, I mean, as far as we know, Thanos isn't even going to be the villain in Avengers 2. That's going to be Ultron. Yeah, they're saving Thanos for Avengers 3, as far as, you know, that's what I've been told, at least. So, I mean, it seems like Joss Whedon and Marvel are trying to set up this whole world and laying it out perfectly, and if they're gonna do Darkseid, I don't want it to be rushed. They need to take their time, and I don't think they're gonna be doing that.
I agree. The last thing DC should try and do is to out Marvel. you know, and that sounds weird, but the thing is, DC, and if there's one thing DC has going for it that Marvel, I think, kind of doesn't, but I think DC has this going for it, but DC also doesn't exactly know what to do with it. And it's the fact that, you know, I think when we think of DC Comics and we think of DC lore, at least the stuff that we like, we think of animation. We think of animated movies. We think of cartoons. I'm not sure you can say exactly the same for that many things Marvel. And so with DC, I think, and that's live action has, for the most part, not worked out for it, except with Batman, because Batman makes it easy. DC, and this is especially problematic and more exacerbated when you have Nolan at the helm. Nolan is someone who is inherently afraid to let cartoons be cartoons.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that I want the movies to actually be animated. No, I'm saying I want them to be in the spirit.
You want them to be
because that's a way for DC to capitalize on its own strength.
Mm-hmm. You want them to be more comic booky.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they can be. I mean, people would go into films like these naturally with, you know, suspending at least somewhat of their own logic.
Right. Well, and with how well Warner Brothers has done the DC animated features, there's really no excuse that they can't do that live action, because they've nailed that for the animated. Every year there's two of them that come out, and they just keep getting better and better. No way, The Dark Knight Returns Part 2 last Christmas, you know, Flashpoint Paradox this year was amazing. And they have all these great ideas and great voice talent as well, which I don't know, it doesn't really bring the screen that well. But if they can somehow combine that talent house with Nolan and company, then I think that they could, you know, that collaboration we talked about, I think really needs to come apart. Because I know...
I don't know if they can do it with Nolan and company, because I feel like that's a direct conflict. The other thing I would say is Marvel has stolen a lot of people who might have been good for DC movies.
Joss Whedon?
I don't just mean screenwriters and directors. I mean, Joss Whedon was actually kind of always a Marvel guy. He used to write for X-Men. But I mean, I don't just mean actors.
Oh, okay.
It's true, and, you know, that's one other thing that, you know, we can kind of talk about, is that you can't really have one person in each, you know, with a foot in each universe, and, you know, DC, and Warner Brothers they need to shift the focus from Christopher Nolan. And I know you and me talked about it a lot, just because he's so one track with his imagination, if you will, and he's so set on being set in realism and stuff like that. And you know, he's afraid of aliens. He's afraid of, you know, comedy in a sense as well. And
I think the comedy being afraid is what I think is more accurate. I'm not sure he's afraid of aliens. I mean, his next movie is going to be about wormholes and, like, time travel. So I feel like, so I'm not sure it's going to be, if realism is necessarily the right wording there. I think his movies are just, you know, he tells stories in a very hyper-masculine fashion about, and he makes his characters these stoic, awesome-looking professionals who are brought down by emotion. You know, because he like every single one of his movies, he develops his characters around emotion versus reason. And you know, he tries to make reason the biggest virtue. I think people confuse the idea of reason with realism. But Nolan has a, like, he does very different things in his different movies. I mean, I think Memento and Prestige and Inception are all, they're all very, very Nolan-esque movies. But they're extremely different because they cover such different ideas, but their core characters stem from the same type of imagination. And it's the characterization that I think is inherently what runs problematic to DC Universe. Because the DC Universe is all about a lot of the ideas that Nolan plays with. But Nolan plays with them with a certain array of characters, and he's only comfortable using with that.
Right. Yeah. And I think, too, that Snyder, I don't want to say if he was allowed to let loose with Man of Steel, that would have been a good idea, but I think if his school of thought, if you will, had a little bit more room to breathe than being, in a sense, smothered by Nolan and Goyer's idea of Superman, I think we would have gotten a completely different Superman. Whether that's good or bad, that's still kind of questionable because, you know, Snyder is someone that needs to be contained.
Otherwise, you get a movie like Sucker Punch.
Exactly, which we won't even get that. But back to The Flash real quick. Colin touched upon it. Jensen Ackles is obviously my choice. I've been very vocal about that. But then another thing I thought about, too, is that this guy was in the running for Batman. So I don't know if, you know, there's kind of a few actors left that Warner Brothers can really secure to really kind of bring in that big name. And I think Ryan Gosling could be an interesting choice for The Flash as well.
I could see that.
You know, he might be a little too...
I would prefer Ackles, but yeah, I could see that as well.
Yeah, but, you know, and then, you know, Josh Brolin, obviously not for The Flash, but his name was in the mix. So, you know, there's, through all these reports and stuff, we're seeing definitely who Warner Brothers is going after. You know, it doesn't seem like they're going for the smaller actors like I originally thought, that, you know, they kind of make the heroes as opposed to bring in the celebrities already. Because that's kind of what superhero movies have tended to do lately. Is make the actor and not vice versa, obviously, except for like Robert Downey Jr., for instance, or anything like that. But that brings us into our probably most interesting part of the discussion, because we really have no idea where any of this is going with her, and that's Wonder Woman. DC seems to be completely afraid of giving her her own movie.
No.
There have been several of TV shows that have failed miserably, including Ally McBeal like Wonder Woman. Why do you guys think she's so hard to bring? Why do you think they think she's so hard to bring to screen?
Colin?
Yeah, Colin. You and I have talked about Wonder Woman quite a bit. Do you think she's hard to bring to screen, or are they just pussyfooting about it?
I think they're pussyfooting about it, and I think they haven't. I think they're waiting for the right Wonder Woman. I mean, we had the that TV show that was canceled. I mean, it didn't even air. I can't remember the actress who was going to...
Pilecki or whatever.
Pilecki, yeah. I don't think they have the chops. I think that they're scared. And I just don't think that they have the balls to try to tell a female... And it sounds terrible, but try to tell a female-centric... story. I mean, even Marvel hasn't had aside from Black Widow, they haven't had a female-centered superhero film, and that's still kind of...
Even then, they don't have a Black Widow film, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can even argue, too, that Black Widow is really just there for the female parts and not really developed at all.
And I think if Joss Whedon's Wonder Woman film would have been made, I think it would have been perfect. Because he is the guy, I mean, with Buffy, Dollhouse, I mean, he is the guy to bring this kind of film to life. And either they don't have anybody to do it right, or they're afraid to even try.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest issues with superhero movies is that they tend to need origin stories for new heroes. But with Wonder Woman, for instance, I think an origin story would be best for her. Because they could set it in Themyscira, I think that's how you say it. Her home island, you know, where the Amazons come from. And I think that take on a hero, showing that exotic location, where she comes from, and playing heavy on, you know, the Greek and Roman gods that she's so inspired by, is, I think, would be a really cool way to introduce her, as opposed to, hey, this is a strong 7-foot woman, let's drop her in New York, or Metropolis, if you will. And I
fish out of water.
Yeah, I just think that the story is so, like, obvious that they're overthinking it all, and you don't need to have a twist to it. You don't need to, you know, over-feminize her. She doesn't need to be, you know, the hero that's completely for women and everything like that, because her existence in her own right and her powers alone are those strengths. I don't think they really need to play up that as much, and especially with, you know, no sign of a film coming out for her, she sounds like she's going to be just, you know, the Justice League's Black Widow, which Wonder Woman is far better than.
She is. Definitely. There's more than that. I think the other side of her strength is in her empathy. And that's both for her personal strength as well as character strength, which I think is a reason why everybody loves her. I'm actually going to make a case and that Joss Whedon would actually be a very wrong choice to make a Wonder Woman move to these.
You're going to have a mob outside of your house, V?
Well, let me preface this by saying I love Joss Whedon.
I know.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Firefly. You know, I love Dollhouse. I obviously love his Avengers, and then I've read his Astonishing X-Men. They're all awesome. But I think if there's one thing about Joss Whedon that's very, very overrated, in a very wrong way that I think further increases the misunderstanding about writing for women. And that is, you know, Joss Whedon is very much of a feminist romantic, but his knowledge of strong female characters is very, very limited. It's limited to female characters being sassy and badass action girls, and a lot of it is girl power. Like, you know, but I mean, that's not to say they aren't interesting or good characters. Obviously, you know, Echo from Dollhouse and Buffy and even River Tam had a lot more going for them. But Joss Whedon has a tendency to write characters in a way that's going to make them look like the biggest badasses ever in order to basically try and make every single one of his, he makes every single one of his female action heroes Uma Thurman from Kill Bill.
That's true.
In the first movie, that is, you know, and that's the wrong thing to do with Wonder Woman. I mean, it's a perfect thing to do with Black Widow, because Black Widow, she's important, yeah, but she's a very ideal supporting character. Marvel is like, you know, there was like a Joss Whedon shaped hole in Marvel that Joss Whedon just fit perfectly into. And I think that's why he gravitates towards Marvel and they gravitate towards him. But it's not the same case for DC, because DC uses its symbolism a lot more than Marvel does. And Wonder Woman, you'll find the biggest examples of that are obviously Superman and Wonder Woman. You know, there's a saying. I saw this beautiful tweet on Twitter. I forget who said it, but the Trinity works like this. Wonder Woman teaches us all to be good. Superman defends the good. Or, sorry, Wonder Woman teaches us all to be better. Superman defends the good, and Batman hunts the bad. You know what I mean? So Wonder Woman cannot... Joss Whedon would make her an interesting character, but he would not make her big the way she needs to be big. She would just be another action hero in a cool movie. She would do some awesome stuff, but that's all she would be, and she needs to be more than that.
Well, with that being said, do you have anyone in mind that could tackle that and be the director for that film?
To be honest, I really don't. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I I feel bad because I really want to say that I do, but I don't have an idea as to who would be like some perfect director to direct a film about a female character. I mean, Tarantino's done it, but obviously that would not turn out to be the way that would not work for
Tarantino Wonder Woman.
I mean, Quentin Tarantino is a massive nerd, but I don't think it would work for that.
Let alone Tarantino doing a PG-13 movie, it just sounds so wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
You'd have a lot of feet of Wonder Woman on the screen.
Yeah, but, that's true. I mean, well, Joss Whedon has a foot fetish too, but Quentin Tarantino is a little bit more overt about it. Thankfully, though, that felt contained in Django. I only remember one scene where, like, the camera went to a woman's feet in Django Unchained.
Well, there's, like, no women, too, so...
That's true. Go ahead.
I would say, but if... I know, Colin, you and I talked about it as well. We went through, like, 50 different people, and it got to the point where we were just being ridiculous. But, V, real quick, who do you think could play Wonder Woman?
I think an obvious choice is Gina Carano, but... If they're gonna fall in line with using sort of older versions of these guys, I don't know if they're actually gonna go 40 years in the future. It could just be that Man of Steel happens when Batman has already been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like and think about it. If they fast forward ahead like 30 years, what the hell happens to Lois?
That's true.
Because obviously like she doesn't age, so I mean that would be weird. So I think like. Odds are, if what they were trying to do is maybe fast forward like a year or two after Man of Steel, and then have it be like, oh, and by the way, Batman's been around for a really long time doing his own thing in his own city.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, you keep your heroes relatively middle-aged. I actually think Michelle Monaghan would do a good job as Wonder Woman. I think she looks the part. I mean, she's not voluptuous to say the least. I think that would still be interesting because I think she's a good enough actress. She looks pretty damn good in any kind of even remotely skimpy outfit you can put her in. I mean, that Santa suit from Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was really good, and that wasn't even that revealing.
And I have a long list of people that I think could play her, but she definitely has the empathy you talked about, and kind of. That almost motherly instinct that Wonder Woman has without being too motherly.
And think about it. Gone Baby Gone, she's worked with Ben Affleck before.
Oh. Good point.
not only that, the character she played in Gone Baby Gone was the one who wanted the baby girl to stay with Morgan Freeman, because she believed that the girl would be better off with them than she would be with her real mother. I mean, that's not something Wonder Woman would do. But Michelle Monaghan sold the hell out of that.
That's true.
So, I mean, I would like to see her. I mean, Gina Carano would be cool. She would need a few acting lessons, but, she would be cool, I guess. But I feel like, and Michelle Monaghan's also one of those people who, she looks better in certain outfits than she does, than she looks naked. I've noticed that. And I actually... kind of like that about her.
Well, and that's, if you think about it, that's kind of Wonder Woman too. You know, she's sexy in her tiara and what she wears. It's not like she needs to be, walking around in a bikini or whatever.
Yeah, and I would not want that. I mean, people overstate the problems with the New 52 all the time, the chief of which is the way they draw women. But it's like, they made that same mistake for Wonder Woman, and they didn't need to. She can look pretty sexy without, just by being who she is, not necessarily by dressing her up the same way they would dress up, Miss USA.
And, yeah, that's definitely a good point when it comes to Wonder Woman, because she has that sexual prowess about her without having to be a whore. She's just Wonder Woman, so she kind of exudes that. Colin, we can skip over what all the directors we mentioned, and because we went on and on and on, but who would you like to see as Wonder Woman?
I think they should bring back Linda Carter. I think she could pull it off. Probably the best.
She's got the experience.
I mean, she's a little old, dude.
She still looks good. She's a little old, yeah. She was a good Wonder Woman, though.
Yeah, she was. No,
She was okay at that. But I mean, it would feel like it would be like bringing in Helen Mirren to play the part of like.
Hey now, you saw what I sent you yesterday.
Hey. I like Helen Mirren too, but I mean, I haven't seen Red 2, but let's face it, you know, Red 2 is about the best you're gonna get from an action movie with Helen Mirren.
That's true. So the ancients aside, Colin, who would you see in the role?
I think Gina Carano would be good if she got better acting lessons, as V said. Everybody came out of Haywire, I don't think there was a person that didn't say she would be Wonder Woman or would be a good Wonder Woman. She just needed acting lessons. That was the thing everybody came out of Haywire saying was, "There's our Wonder Woman." But
not even that good a movie either.
No, but she kind of kicked ass. But
her acting is
it's bad. It's bad. I think didn't they dub her over too in that?
Yeah, her voice.
They did not in the whole movie, but they did in a lot of parts of it, and it was pretty easy to notice.
What we were just talking about too is I don't think she has that, you know, the empathy motherly aspect to her.
No, I think
I think she'd be a great rival to Wonder Woman in a villain aspect, you know, one of her sisters or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, on the mascara or whatever, but I just don't see her as Wonder Woman anymore. And her and Henry Cavill are done now. I don't know if there's, you know, bad blood between the two of them, but I just, you know, when you cast someone like Ben Affleck as Batman, you can't really go with Gina Carano as Wonder Woman.
That's Ben Affleck fucked everything up.
He did. Now you need big names. Like, it's all about who can go up against Ben Affleck.
I've got two other people here for Wonder Woman, and I'm just like, neither one of them can go up against Ben Affleck. Because Gemma Arterton would be, I think she'd be fine, but then you look at Ben Affleck, and then you're like, no.
She's my choice, next to Michelle Monaghan.
Yeah.
And then my other choice, too, which won't happen because she's already secured at Marvel, is Jamie Alexander, who plays Sif.
And, who would be perfect.
She would be sexy, perfect, awesome, fun time. But, she's just no.
If she wasn't at Marvel, I would, you know, Kobe Smulders could be possible in the running.
She's still just Robin to me, though. She'll never escape How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, I think, I mean, even in the Avengers, I mean, it was pretty difficult to play. So she didn't have, I mean, I wish she had more to do in that movie. I think she was just maybe a few lines short of being anything more than a plot device. I will say that she needed to be there, and I would like to see more of her in the future. Because I think she's a good enough actress that she could definitely, you know, be something other than, you know, like, she could be something different than the Robin that we know. But, if there's one problem with the Avengers, that would be it.
Well, and with Agent Coulson gone now from the Avengers universe, he'll still stick around for S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury's going to need that agent to go to, and I think she'll have a bigger presence in the future.
Yeah, she'll rise to the challenge, I think. I think I finally figured out, or rather remembered, who I think if we were gonna cast Gina Carano in the DC universe, I don't think I would want to cast her as Wonder Woman, but I think it would be interesting to cast her as like her sister would be okay, but also what about Big Barda?
That would be interesting to see her.
I mean, she was like, I mean, to be like the head of security for like the former head of security for Darkseid, who like now she's, you know, now she's no longer with him. And she fights beside Wonder Woman. Like she'd be like the supporting henchman kind of role. And Gina Carano was perfect in that in Furious 6.
It's true.
For another Wonder Woman, I saw a Scott Weinberg tweet. Now take away Ben Affleck for a little bit here. But okay. Scott tweeted Genesis Rodriguez, and I thought it'd be an alright choice.
She is too pretty.
True.
I just think
she is very pretty.
She picks
she's
terrible
really
movies.
Young too. She's like 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
Like that's really young.
Yeah.
She'll never age. I get that, but I still feel like that's still a little young.
And no offense, you know, all four minorities and ethnicities and in the superheroes, but Wonder Woman's not Spanish.
None taken. I mean, why would I be?
I don't know. And, you know, she's as exotic as she is, I think she's as American as Superman. And, you know, I don't know.
She doesn't exactly look Hispanic, though. I mean, like, I don't know. I think the bigger problem is that she's just too young.
Mm-hmm. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
No, that's not a bad one. I mean, Scott Weinberg has always been, like, he's really smart and he's really funny.
I love Scott.
But Genesis Rodriguez is only 5'5", too, and we need a taller actress to...
That's true.
...to play, you know, because we don't want her in, like, 9-inch heels fighting alongside Batman and Superman.
It's easier to make taller actors tinier.
Well, then, to wrap up the Wonder Woman discussion real quick, do you think she's going to be that big, or do you think she's going to be to the side, like Black Widow? Because, you know, DC has no plans for a Wonder Woman movie right now. Do you think that's kind of going to be, she's just going to be the sidekick? Or do you think she'll eventually get, you know, some love?
I mean, if she's going to, if she gets love, I think the word eventually would be the key word there. But it wouldn't necessarily be in the first Justice League movie. It would be in, over the course of the franchise later on, provided they do well. But see, this is the thing, like, this entire thing is, like, this conversation is inherently very hard to have. Because it's all, I mean, we don't exactly know what they're going to do, but it's all about whether or not their movies are going to be good. And they don't necessarily, they haven't hammered down a kind of formula for, you know, for their magic at all. Because they're still working on trying to crack a code.
Right.
For DC movie, you know, the DC medium.
Well, and Colin, what do you think?
About?
If she's just going to stay that sidekick, or, you know, what's the fate of Wonder Woman?
I don't, I have a feeling for, at least for this, I don't want to call it a phase like Marvel, but for, at least for this first DC phase, I think she's going to be a side character, personally. And I think maybe she'll go on to have her own, you know, film or franchise, but I don't think DC, I don't think DC has it all together right now. And I think that they're too scared to do a Wonder Woman film. And, you know, coming to me now, I don't know if, like, okay, say they made a Wonder Woman film. I don't know if it personally would sell that well. I mean, Wonder Woman's a big character, but I don't think it's going to make the box office that people think it will.
Well, in that regard, too, they could always kind of give that a smaller budget, if you will.
True.
And kind of tailor it down. But one thing I kind of am wondering, too, about Wonder Woman is if she's going to be more like the Black Widow, or if she's going to be more like the Hulk, in that, is she going to just be the sidekick, or is she going to be the scene stealer?
Oh, I'd say the Hulk. I think she'd be more like that, personally. But
because I think of how well she's received in the Justice League movie will really affect whether or not she gets her own movie.
Yeah.
Because then that demand will be a lot more evident than fans screaming on the internet, hey, let's get a Wonder Woman movie in place.
Yeah. And again, if that's what happens, then that would only confirm my skepticism and my antipathy towards the current model for their DC franchise. I've said before, my biggest problem with this is that their heart's not in it. They're doing this to rival Marvel. They're not doing it because they love the material. And it has to be because you love the material first. Especially with DC, which is far more bizarre, obscure, and in some cases interesting than Marvel. Yeah, I mean, I like Marvel more in general, because I think just in general they tell better stories and they've had more success, and I appreciate that. But when DC's good, they're great. Mm-hmm. And they have been before, you know, there have been plenty of live action DC films that have been really good, but they've all been sort of standalone. They've all been a lot of one shots that the continuity for them is very difficult, and I think part of the problem is that continuity has been difficult for them even in comic lore. DC is and that's another thing that I think that's another reason Joss Whedon gravitates towards Marvel. Joss Whedon himself hates the idea of hyper-convoluted continuity. He does not, even Marvel does that too, especially with X-Men, but he likes to try and simplify that as much as he can. DC is almost incapable of doing that. DC, you know, they cross universes over and over again, they reboot their own franchises, and then they bring their reboots back to the existing ones, and they keep doing they just get bigger and bigger, you know, because they have, you know, and they don't know what to do with themselves a lot of the time, and it becomes so confusing, it becomes impossible for anyone who wants to try and get into it to do it. That's why everybody gravitates to Batman, because he's the only one they can kind of do it for. and in a way, that difficulty does translate to film, because Marvel, Marvel is able to still contain its own stories. It's able to tell its stories within the confines of a larger universe, and it's even able to demonstrate implications and whatnot. But if it needs, but it has no shortage of smaller stories. It has no shortage of character adventures. And you need those. You need those for start when you're starting out. I mean, the fact that we're getting a Guardians of the Galaxy before we get a Justice League, and the fact that we're getting a Rocket Raccoon before we get Wonder Woman
excites me as fucking hell.
Yeah, well, the fact that we're getting Rocket Raccoon is kind of amazing, but but before Wonder Woman, that feels like, and Movie Bob made this comparison, it feels like it would be like if Kiss got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before the Beatles.
Huh. That's an interesting comparison, but
I don't want to live in a world that happens.
It's the whole thing. It just has so many questions, and it's, you know, as a DC fanboy, I'm excited, but then I'm also terrified, and, you know, Marvel took their time, and I wish just DC did that, because, you know, there's always going to be the love for Batman. Batman made almost as much money as an entire team of superheroes. You know, Batman's the hero that can do that on his own, and Superman's pretty much behind, you know, next to, like, Mickey Mouse and Jesus, Batman and Superman are the most recognizable characters in the world. And I understand how they really want to rely on that aspect, but I think if they can build up the secondary characters first and then go to their big guns, that would be a lot more effective.
That's a good idea.
I agree. I think DC is a mess right now. I think they tried to build up these secondary characters with Green Lantern, and then when it failed miserably, they kind of pulled out. And then now they're trying to get back into the game, and I don't think it's coming together as well as I think it was.
Well, the one thing I think would have been the solution for DC, and I thought about it a while ago, and I wish they just kind of kept with it, is that they stuck with Nolan's trilogy and had that be in the same universe as everything else. But the way they do it is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he'll become the Batman, and then you jump, you know, like 5 years into the future. And it's in those 5 years that Superman's introduced. So the realism of Nolan's universe is explained in the fact that Batman's the only thing that's existed. So with Superman's intro to the world comes the introduction of the supernatural elements. So
and
it's
then
not
you can bring in Wonder Woman from there, and people
right.
would not be that apprehensive to it.
Right. It's not ruining anything that Nolan created, because, you know, that just didn't exist. So, you know, obviously with the events of The Dark Knight Rises, Batman and Gotham especially really get their place on the map in the world as being that city that Batman saved. And, you know, with the army coming in, with the president addressing everything that went on, that film, I think, really focused on bringing Gotham to the United States as opposed
to
existing.
Yeah, it did. None of the other ones did.
And
I mean,
I think when they did
that, The Dark Knight did it a little bit.
Yeah, The Dark Knight did it a little bit, but I think with The Dark Knight Rises, it really did that, and it felt like it did it for a reason that never really paid off. And I just, I like I said, I like Ben Affleck, but I think DC and Warner Brothers really missed that mark where, you know, if no one's going to be sticking around, why not continue to build off what he did as opposed to trying to do something completely different, but it's still the same. But then you have the conflicting parts of the universe that just kind of is more of a hindrance than anything else.
That's the other thing. And, you know, and Colin brought up this point about how sick he is of seeing Batman. Like, yeah, I love the guy to death too. He's my favorite superhero of all time. But if you're gonna continue to push the envelope on Batman, I mean, the whole point of Justice League is that you can focus on everybody else. But a greater thing is Batman is so minimalist. And also, if you're gonna keep pushing that envelope, if you're gonna keep bringing out, you know, if you're gonna use Joseph Gordon-Levitt, fine. If you're gonna make another Batman movie, fine. But how long can you possibly go until you need another Joker? And who the hell in their right mind?
Mm-hmm.
After it hasn't been that long. It was 2008 when Heath Ledger died. How, you know, what actor in the right mind would ever think to try and to tackle that?
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, Mark Hamill.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, you say that, but that's for animation, and you know, I don't think he would. I don't think he could possibly do it in real life. He's too fat.
Mm-hmm.
You
can always dub it, but yeah.
As bad as that sounds. I mean, again, like that's. There's a certain humanist touch that I feel like that would be lost if they actually tried that. Like it's a kind of overcompensation that wouldn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
With that remark too, real quick, I wonder if that is actually the reason. You know, because they kind of It's horrible to say that they cornered themselves, but with the death of Heath Ledger, that kind of really changes a whole lot of stuff, because I think with this new universe they're doing, it gives them another Joker that they can work with, as opposed to continuing within Nolan's universe and having a Joker or a new actor come in to replicate Heath Ledger's Joker. And I want to know if that actually was part of the big process in thinking about it, because, you know, the Joker is the villain, if you will, of the DC universe next to Lex Luthor.
I don't know. I mean, he's not a villain Justice League goes after, though. He's a villain right. that Batman tackles alone. And if you're gonna try and make a sprawling bigger universe, the Joker is, there's no point in having Joker. What I mean is that they keep bringing up Batman. Like, you know, this is Superman versus Batman, and so they're bringing in into this, and then after a Justice League movie, if that works out for them, you know. And there'd be another. Then presumably Batman would get another standalone adventure because they would feel like they would have to because he's a money making guarantee. So it's like if they keep wanting to push it, you know, it would lead to that. What my point was that they don't need the inclusion of Batman until the actual Justice League movie. They can build up on everybody else and then throw Batman in to Justice League the way they threw in Hawkeye into the Avengers. I mean, Hawkeye had a cameo in Thor, and that was it. He didn't even need to have that, you know. But that's the thing, like, you know, Batman is that, he's not that important until they write him to make him important. But even then, we all know who he is before. We don't need another origin story for Batman. We don't need another, you know, we don't need more of him right now. We need more of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
The other point I wanted to make, and I'm sorry, I'm taking up a little bit of time here. I think the point you made, Nick, about building off of Nolan's trilogy is a really interesting one, because I think Nolan's trilogy, if there's one thing that it's cemented, it's that by the end of it, the world believes in superheroes. By the end of it, you know, Gotham commemorates Batman because Gotham had it, and they will continue to get one so long as they deserve it. And, you know, and then Bruce Wayne's retired. But, I mean, the whole world was eyeing Gotham as this was all happening. So, you know, if they had built upon their franchise and brought in Superman with that in mind, with the world already sort of, you know, with the world already having Batman, and therefore possibly, and maybe not necessarily ready for an alien yet, but still believing, you know, or still being willing to extend the benefit of the doubt or some trust at a hero that they see, that would have been an interesting way to take Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, Wonder Woman, and then you could expand a universe building upon that.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got it. Okay. So, the end of Dark Knight Rises, when Batman takes the nuke and goes out into the horizon and it blows up, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt is standing there looking at it. It turns out the radiation hits Gotham and screws with them, so Joseph Gordon-Levitt has to get plastic surgery and then looks like Ben Affleck.
Oh my God.
And then when they come together and Ben Affleck has the grizzled beard and Superman goes, "Why do you look so grizzled?" He can do a throwaway line like plastic surgery.
Yeah, the opening of the film is Ben Affleck just wrapped in bandages. It's like, "Robin, we're ready to take off your mask."
Like Punisher Warzone with Jigsaw.
Yeah. And then the other idea I had that is would just be lazy is that if it is in the future and that Ben Affleck is just a grown-up Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Not a bad idea. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it might work, but then that part of me is like, where's Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Batman? Because I really want to see that.
Then they do prequels.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you mentioned another good thing, too. I completely forgot the nuke at the end of The Dark Knight Rises. There's a nuke that's really part of the big deal about The Dark Knight Returns, and are they going to do a whole nother nuke story? Because The Dark Knight Rises really kind of relied on some of the aspects of The Dark Knight Returns, but kind of twisted it on its own weird little side.
Yeah, I mean, they used the nuke as a MacGuffin, and The Dark Knight Rises, it was more of an event.
Right, and that had quite a bit of consequences as opposed to, oh my god, The Dark Knight is Jason Bourne in the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, minus the awesome music, but you know, I just feel like, I don't know why, because obviously Warner Brothers had the rights to it all, and they could do whatever the hell they want, and obviously they still want to keep Christopher Nolan happy, but now I'm assuming he's, like, on a 10-picture deal with him for kind of, you know, doing whatever. Warner Brothers just should have said, hey, screw it, Nolan, we're going to continue your universe, just deal with it. You know, it was a great trilogy, it was a great start to it all, why can't they just go off of that? And, you know,
and I mean, at this point, I feel like Nolan wouldn't even care. Dark Knight Rises is clearly a movie he did not want to make.
They gave Nolan so much, too, is the thing. Like, between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, he made The Prestige. That was his little picture he wanted to make, and they were like, okay, go ahead, we'll finance it. And then in between The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, he wanted to do Inception. They were like, okay, we'll finance it. If you come back, what the fuck was that?
Bruh.
I got it. Brawl. Yeah, okay. But, I mean, they financed that for him, too. I mean, they do his quote-unquote little projects, but,
Look how amazing these little projects turned out to be. Prestige was between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, and look how awesome that movie is.
Yeah.
I know, and I just don't know why they were just like, okay, Nolan, we did all this for you. I mean, we're just going to keep it in the universe. You can either produce or get out. We don't really care.
Yeah, well, that best thing, though, Nolan has become, I mean, because of Batman, Nolan has generated a larger fan base than he had before. And so, but again, like so many fan bases, they confuse his ability to do well with Batman with his ability to do well with anything else. And, I think a lot of people are fans of Christopher Nolan without properly understanding him, that his motif and his ideas are just not really fit for DC as much as DC loves a lot of the stuff that he does.
Right.
Does DC play around with magic? Yes. Does DC play around with dreams? Yes. Does it play around with the universe? Yes. That doesn't mean that you can take a guy who also plays around with that and put him in, because, you know, you would be ignoring the fact that the way he structures characters is different. DC relies on variants and characters being inherently different people and working together anyway, and also, you know, and also to have their universes conflict with one another. Like, it's all about these big things that are always happening.
Well, and even when you think of Nolan and magic and dreams, with The Prestige, it's not magic, it's illusion, and it's real.
Yeah.
And with Inception, I don't know about you, but I don't have dreams like that. They're really more out there, they're more colorful, they're more bizarre, and, you know, that 9 people had similar dreams in Inception, or however many people it was. You know, I don't know how many people dream of a ski lodge in the middle of the mountains.
I've done it.
But I don't know. It seems like even when he tries to become surreal, he's still real. And
yeah, that's true.
It's a complete crutch to DC and what they want to do. You know, like we said, he'd be great for Batman, and he was. But when you add that extra element, you know, it doesn't work. And I'm surprised Superman wasn't some, like, you know, human that managed to mutate or something, and he developed...
You mean you're surprised he wasn't a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Or something like that. Well, even then, if Christopher Nolan did that, he'd find some way to go around it where it's a person instead of a reptile or anything like that. And, yeah. You know...
He would make it more like Street Sharks, where they're, like, people first. Like, you know, hey, they got this now.
Exactly. But because it's Nolan, and he did a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle that was grounded in reality, he doesn't get shit on like Michael Bay.
Yeah, that's true.
Entirely different story, but...
the other thing I would say about that is, the other thing that matters here is it's also indicative of how different Batman is from the rest of DC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I feel like Batman is almost like DC's excuse to go bonkers and do whatever it wants. Because Batman is the most realistic superhero ever. And so, you know, I mean, just to have Batman in their stories, they'd be like, okay, yeah, we're still sort of down to earth, but here's us doing these other crazy stuff and whatnot. But it also confines Batman to his own corner. Now, granted, it's one of the most interesting and rich corners ever in the entire DC universe. That's always consistent when it comes to being a lot of fun. But the DC universe is about so much more, and anybody who wants to make a movie about the DC universe should not want it to be about the corner of Batman.
Right.
It should be about the stuff. It should be about the core.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with that in mind too, what I think they need to realize is that they can go out there, and when they want to bring it back, they bring it back to Batman. You know, he's their base of realism that they can continue to come back to. but they don't have to, you know, hover around him like a little sun. Like, they don't have to orbit around Batman. They go out there and then they come back in. They go out, and that's how the Justice League works too. You know, it all, in the end, it kind of does all come back to Batman in the sense that he's the reminder of, to all of them that they're human, you know, that they're mortal, you know, next to Clark, obviously. But, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating the more I think about it, the more I talk about it. But I'm still optimistic about it, but I just, it just seems like there's so many simple solutions to what they have on their hands. And completely ignoring, you know, 6 years of film with the Dark Knight trilogy is stupid, especially since we're getting a new Batman only 3 years or, what, 4 years, or 5 years after, whatever.
And, well, it's gonna air next year, so it's,
yeah.
Right? I mean, they're going to start filming pretty damn soon. So it's
2015, like, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
One of my biggest problems with The Amazing Spider-Man was that we had, I mean, it was, you know, I think it was like 6 years between Spider-Man films. And even that still wasn't fresh enough to introduce us to another Spider-Man. So I don't think 2 years is going to introduce us to another Batman.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. That's why I think that's what I really mean. I think what DC needs is, I mean, and what Warner Brothers needs, and that it doesn't understand, is it needs time. It needs to. I mean, they need to right now. They need to let Marvel blow its load, because it's like in the video game industry when you have all these different like indie shooters. They're trying, or these smaller games, random titles that no one knows about or cares about, trying to replicate Call of Duty.
That's true.
Why does that not work? Because we already have Call of Duty. They don't want your stupid they don't want your stupid ripoff of Call of Duty. We already have Call of Duty. You know, that's why the shooters that do different things are the ones that are more successful, because people who get tired of Call of Duty, okay, well, you have Gears of War, you have Halo, you have, I mean, for those who, I mean, you have Battlefield too, I guess, but, you know, like, you know, and stuff like that, so that's, you know, it tends to be different.
Well,
I was going to say, like, but DC, and because Marvel has done so well when it comes to monopolizing a lot of the talent and a lot of the audience, you know, for this kind of thing, It really is putting the cart before the horse when you get down to it, and I think that's what the inherent problem is with this entire model. That's why I think what they need is time. They need time for a generation of actors to grow up and for new names to come out. That way you can build something entirely different and do something interesting in a different way that's not Marvel.
In
a way that lets Marvel be Marvel, but doesn't try and either steal their thunder or invite the capacity for Marvel to steal their
time. Well, and with that in mind, too, you know, with the smaller talent and stuff like that, I think, in a sense, if Ben Affleck can be DC's Robert Downey Jr., I think that would work really well. And if he did sign on for 13 appearances, I think DC is smart enough in that regard, in that they're going to try to avoid Robert Downey Jr.'s instance where he almost stopped being Iron Man because of the contract. So I think if they can, you know, get that smaller talent, the unknown talent, surrounded by Ben Affleck. And Affleck as a man, as an actor, as a director, makes everyone around him better. I think that would be a really good route as well. And then with that in mind, you don't have to worry about such big contracts, and you can do a lot of smaller movies. You know, Marvel has plans to do these little ones, you know, Black Panther and Doctor Strange and stuff like that. If Warner Brothers can somehow sneak in there, give $50 million to, you know, certain filmmakers to kind of build the universe that Man of Steel so lacked in doing, that would really help. And, you know, almost make it like a production house in that regard, that you're milling out good products that are story-driven as opposed to, you know, glossy finish and stuff like that, while, in a sense, like, grooming talent in order to stay in-house and continue to build on stuff later down the road, which I think Marvel's trying to kind of do, but they still don't have that... I don't think they still have the talent locked in like Warner Brothers could do with the regard of, you know, securing directors, securing writers and stuff like that. And I think if they can branch out from Zack Snyder and Christopher Nolan and everything like that, that would be a really good idea. But, it's just...
Very good point. It would be like if I'm going to make a Breaking Bad reference here, it would be like, trying to have Jesse's stupid chili powder meth after Heisenberg has already created his masterpiece.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, and with what you were saying too before with the video game analogy, And one thing I want to mention, too, is that Call of Duty obviously sells, but people get tired of it. And it's also, you know, it's an annual entry. We get it every year. It's pretty much the same stuff, just recycled.
Yeah, what, it's worse and worse, too.
Right. What Marvel, I think Marvel's almost on that track, where there's a new Marvel something every year. In a couple of years, that's going to get really boring. As exciting as it may be.
Yeah.
But with what I think DC needs to do is really focus on story. Because I think with the characters that DC has, no offense to Marvel, but I think DC has a stronger character base. More recognition, longevity with the characters and everything like that. They can focus on the story and give us, you know, like The Last of Us or Bioshock Infinite if we're going to compare video games. You know, really focus on the story. We already care about these characters. You don't have to make us care about them. We know where they come from. You don't need to tell us that. It's all about the dynamic between the characters and how they save the world. And I think if they really, really, really focus on that and not as much, hey, here's a new metropolis that just finished being rebuilt. Let's completely destroy it. And, you know, let's do that every year because, you know, Metropolis, apparently their taxpayers are paying out their ass, but,
I would almost feel bad for Metropolis because it's like Washington D.C. in movies. If you ever see Washington D.C. in the movies, there's something terrible happening to Washington D.C.
It's true. And, you know, I don't want that with Metropolis because Christopher Nolan says that there's realism to it, a city that's completely destroyed where millions of people die every 2 years, then Superman, you're the worst freaking superhero in the world. And, you know, I think the excuse with Man of Steel is that he's kind of still a rookie, so the casualties happened because of how terrible Zod was and how Superman was coming into his powers. But if that continues to happen, that's going to get tired. Same with, like, Marvel, how they're doing it. You know, the Avengers was crazy in the destruction, but it did make sense because of how crazy the alien invasion was. But then even with Iron Man 3, they destroyed a lot. And if they continue with that destruction porn, you know, the existence of superheroes is pretty much moot because what good are they if everything gets destroyed? Yeah.
Let's face it. Like Thor has the capacity to. I mean, he leveled a small town in the third act, but look what he did in the first act of that movie.
and like you said, with the Dark World too, it looks like London completely gets destroyed. And I'm like, if all these heroes in that universe or in the DC universe continue to let shit like that happen, then why are they even in existence? Because sure, they saved the world, but still, 10 million people died. You know, I wouldn't call you a hero. And I think if they can get to the point where it's based around the characters and the prevention of stuff like that. You know, we don't need to see shit explode. If we can have, you know, if you can bring up the noir factor for Batman, make him more of a detective, and, you know, have these characters each play their role like they're supposed to.
I would love
that. It just, I don't know, that's just one complaint I've had about all movies of this summer, too, is that, you know, just because buildings get destroyed, it's not cool. You know, the Transformers did it, and that was boring. And they continue to do it, and now it seems like everything has to do it. And it will never happen because the big studios, you know, it's never story before, you know,
well, let's
face
it.
Finish.
I don't know if that's completely accurate. I mean, the thing is, you can have fun and do some interesting things with destruction porn. I mean, Roland Emmerich's 2012, okay, it's not the best movie ever, but it's like, but for one thing, Emmerich composes the destruction in some insanely amazing ways, far better than Michael Bay.
Well,
oh no. No, you did not.
With that, though, that's the point. Excuse me, but, you know, as opposed
but
to...
But he also makes the movie about something else, and I, you know, okay, it's not that good, but I still appreciate that. You're right about the destruction porn, although I think if... Actually, Colin, go first, because I wanted to bring it back to another point, but, yeah.
I was just going to say, I understand the destruction porn, but I'm completely tired in a different way, because, I mean, so you have this build-up for the Avengers. We had, what, 5 years of a build-up? And then we had the Avengers, and everybody was blown away. And then it's going to be another 5 years until Avengers 2. And the thing, my problem is that you have all
these... 3 years.
Only 3 years, sorry. That's because
Avengers
they're doing...
Avengers 2 is Age of Ultron, but yeah.
Yeah, because they're putting two films every year. But It's the fact that you have all these... we have a group of another standalone films with Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, of Captain America 2, and I don't think it, like, laps over very well, because you have all these different characters in their own films, and that's why I think this Batman vs. Superman film, this is the one thing I like most about it, is that it's going to have these two characters in one film together, which, with Iron Man 3, we all wanted to see Iron Man and Hulk team up and kick ass, but that never happened. So it's more of being, I'm more tired of these standalone films where they don't come together in separate ways and team up, as opposed to just being alone and waiting for the next big summer team up film.
So, yeah. That's an interesting point. So are you basically, so one complaint about Iron Man 3, I guess, would be that, like, where were the rest of the Avengers? And I heard that complaint after a few times. That's not a bad point. I mean, although I would say that because of where that movie took place in, I mean, it was, you know, at one point it's in New York, then at one another point it's in the Midwest, then it's in Florida. I mean, you know,
it's a mess, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, you can't just expect Thor to get some kind of, like, green, you know, buzzer over at Asgard thinking, like, oh, Iron Man's in trouble, I need to go down there. Obviously, Captain America has no chance of getting there, not at least in time, you know. So, that's still true. I mean, but I wanted to make a point about Nick was talking about DC versus Marvel when it comes to storytelling, and how you wanted a lot of DC movies to be more focused on telling a good story, and I agree with that. But I feel like what that's also hitting upon is another problem that DC has, because DC's character base and the way they create characters and make them different actually robs them of the capacity to tell a more conventional kind of story. And that's why like DC is almost incapable of telling a story without making it really big, without crossing universes, you know, without doing something sprawling and epic and huge. And so it's like with DC, you almost always have to start that way with films in order to, like, even try and get there, unless you're doing with Batman. Because that's the other thing, like, I think one of the biggest differences between Marvel and DC is that Marvel is about people trying to be heroes, DC is about heroes trying to be people. And so, it's easy to see that people would immediately think of dark and gritty as, like, a thing to do for DC, even though that's not a thing to do, it's only something to do for Batman. And that's partially also why Batman is the only one who's presence makes sense, and because we understand him a lot more. But I think with DC, it's just in general, it is harder to tell a story that is fit for a film that is fit for one film. It's easier to do it for a TV series where you have more room, more length, and the ability to get bigger over an episodic structure. With movies, that's much different, and that's asking a lot for DC.
It's true.
If there's one thing, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. looks really good, but Marvel has not had the kind of successful run with TV series like DC has. And I think that tells us something about DC and the way that material connects to film.
Yeah, but this is Marvel's first live-action TV series.
That's true. That's true. It's a little different. You're right. It does look like they're still gonna try and, like, make it, you know, it looks like they're gonna try and make it bigger, you know, as they go about it. I'm not sure what they have in mind, but it's like, but they're bringing in a lot of heroes. There's a guy who looks like Luke Cage in there, so and I'd love to see him because Luke Cage is awesome. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we're running up. Do you have something else to say, Colin?
No, I was just going to say, and there's our Marvel discussion.
that's a good segue into Marvel for another time. We've all presented quite a few ideas, and it sounds like we're all optimistic yet frustrated with the future of DC and stuff and what's going to happen. So to wrap things up, any final thoughts, or do you think Warner Brothers can do it? Let's just say it with that. Colin, do you think Warner Brothers can succeed in doing what they plan, and do you think that in the long run they can eventually catch up with Marvel?
I think they can do it. I think that they need time. I think they need to sit down and think about it as opposed to rushing it all. At this point, I don't think they can catch up with Marvel. Marvel is going 100 miles an hour right now, and DC is going 15. They sped up a little bit with this news. I mean, you know, Bryan Cranston is now Lex Luthor.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
That's a good one. Yeah,
which I think is, you know, going to help a lot. But
I mean, there's not much to talk about. All three of us think that.
But with that in mind too, Aaron Paul as the Flash probably would not work.
Yeah. I forgot to bring that up. But I think DC can do it. I don't think they're going to do it. I think that Marvel is at such a head start that, you know, that DC is kind of has their thumbs up their asses and are trying to figure out what they're going to do, and they're putting all this together with Affleck and Bryan Cranston and this essentially the Dark Knight Returns story, or being based off that at least. And I think that they're going to try very hard, and they're going to fail.
Okay, so. No optimism from the Flanagan.
Well, no, there's optimism. I mean, the Bryan Cranston, I think that Affleck is a good choice. I think Cavill's fine. I just think that I have a feeling Zack Snyder's going to fail somewhere. I think he's going to screw something up. And DC isn't going to connect everything together like they should, and there's going to be the Wonder Woman problem. There's just a lot of negative factors in the positives that just outweigh everything.
Okay. V, what about you?
Well, can they do it? Yes, they absolutely can. Will they? I'm really not sure. I mean, going off of what Colin said about Zack Snyder, you know, how he thinks he's going to screw it up. I mean, if there's another problem that Zack Snyder has, I mean, action-wise, I think he's brilliant. Some people complained about how much of an ass-kicking Man of Steel was, but I loved that about it. That wasn't my problem. My problem with Man of Steel was so perfunctory on the character development. It was so lacking. But Zack Snyder that's actually something that happens with a lot of Zack Snyder movies. In 300, I would not necessarily call Leonidas a very well-developed character, but he didn't need to be. For that movie to work, he just needed to be a sympathetic action hero, and he totally was. And that was it. With Watchmen, my biggest criticism with that film is the way they treated Adrian Veidt, because Adrian Veidt carries the intellectual depth of that entire story. And they really squandered it. You know, they just made him out to be some other Republic serial villain, and that was kind of it. I mean, you look at him the first time, and you knew exactly who the bad guy was, and it didn't change. There was no, you know, there was Matthew Good was a very Matthew Good is someone who's good at playing a dark character. I mean, if you see Stoker, my God, he's really amazing in that
one.
Sure. So Zack Snyder fails on character development a lot of the time, or at least. Or either that, or he's just never been able to create some rich ones. He's never been able to really create an authentic protagonist. And that's a problem, because DC is all about authentic protagonists. You don't have a story in DC without any of those things. So they really need a different creative team. They also need to get rid of Frank Miller. I mean, now I don't think as badly of the guy that a lot of other people do. Obviously, you know... That thing he did with that terrorist thing in 2004 was terror. Holy terror, that was awful. But to the point where they made him take that man. But Frank Miller is too much about realism, and he's also too much about dark and gritty, and he's too cynical. A DC universe cannot survive with cynical ideas. The DC universe needs optimism, because every hero. You know, even the ones that are lesser versions of Superman in their own way, every hero, you know, has to bring something good. Batman is the one who gets all down about everything, you know?
Sure.
You need a completely different creative team.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that Superman vs. Batman is going to make money. I mean, it is something that everyone's following. Regardless of how we felt about Men of Steel, it's going to be an event movie, and event movies make money. But will it be good? Will it be up to, you know, will it be up to what we've, I guess, come to hope for and expect thanks to Marvel? I doubt it. But they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
The
good
thing.
Go on, Colin.
I don't want to. The thing I want to say is that I'm curious what the, especially what the plot of this Batman vs. Superman movie is going to be, and what the which structure they're going to go in. Because if you look at Zack Snyder, he either adapts or remakes. I mean, his first film was Dawn of the Dead, which was a remake. Then he did 300, which was an adaptation. Then he did Watchmen, which was pretty much a direct adaptation. And then the only film, I guess, aside from Man of Steel, the only film that he did by himself that was not an adaptation was Sucker Punch, and we don't even need to go into that. But I'm just curious.
He made that Owl movie, too, but yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I like that movie.
I did, too.
Yeah, I know. It's good. It's good. Yeah.
But I'm just curious how much he's going to borrow from The Dark Knight Returns and what he's going to do for the future.
Well, I guess that should be something that I also we talk about here now, because I've talked to Nick about this before when it comes to Dark Knight Returns. When I talk about cynicism and what DC needs to go without, Dark Knight Returns is like one of the most cynical things ever. I mean, it's a great book. It's one of Frank Miller's best, and it's one of the best Batman comics ever. But the thing is, it is a Batman comic, for one thing. And also, like, the reason that Batman and Superman are fighting each other in that film, in film and in the book, is because, the world has gone so far into the dirt, and Batman and Superman have essentially been relegated to ideological opposites to the point where now, like, their entire worlds are essentially colliding. Like, it's come to that point. The entire, like, brinkmanship, it's like brinkmanship to a whole different level. And so, like, I don't want that to be the plot, or anything like that to be the plot of Batman vs. Superman. What I'd be wondering is, when, if they're going to do the, you know, they're doing this because they want, because Batman is the only character who can possibly top General Zod in terms of giving Superman a fist fight. My question is, when are they going to do that fist fight? Are they going to do it in the second act, or are they going to do it in the third act? Mm-hmm. If you do it in the third act, that's probably going to be really, really bad. If you do it in the second act and then team up for something bigger, that might be better.
That's a good point. And, yeah. We'll take things home. And last bit from my perspective is that I think the biggest thing that I think we've kind of come to the terms with is that DC is not going to beat Marvel. It's not going to catch up with Marvel. Marvel's doing its own thing. What DC needs to realize is that they cannot emulate Marvel. They have to do something completely different. And I think bringing in other talents, bringing in other ideas, not following this streamlined Christopher Nolan, David Goyer story is going to be the best way to go about it. And, I think Batman versus Superman is going to be, obviously it's the next one that comes out, but that's going to be the really big make or break for DC and Warner Brothers, because if that does not work, if it's like another Green Lantern or anything like that, then I have no hope for the Justice League. And, they're putting it all out, and I'm excited to see it, but I'm also very nervous, and I think all of us are pretty pessimistic while being optimistic about it as well. So
I don't like being this pessimistic about something like this.
I know, it's a shame that we have to be like that too, given the circumstances, but there's just so many questions that need answering, so many things that need to be tweaked and fixed a little bit, but only time will tell. It's only 2 years away. We'll start hearing more. It's going to start filming in, I think, February. And Ben Affleck apparently is already working out 2 hours a day. So I hope he really bulks up. But, he still has to film Gone Girl before this. So I don't know how that's going to fit.
Yeah.
In.
I really wanted to see is The Stand. I wanted to see him do that.
Yeah, I was curious about that, too. And that was the first Batman casualty. But
And I really wanted to see that, too.
But we'll see how it all plays out on July 15th, I think, 2015. And
oh my god, I didn't even know they had a release date for that game.
July 17th, 2015. So pre-order your IMAX tickets while you can. It's certainly going to be sold out. To both of you, thank you for having the conversation with me about DC and my favorite comic book universe. And to all of our listeners, thank you for listening. It's a little bit of a longer episode, but I think we had quite a discussion going. So for me, Nick of the Cinematic Cats and Jammer, and Colin and the also of the Cinematic Cats and Jammer, thank you for listening to a new episode of KTCR. The Cinematic Cats Jammer can be found at www.cinecats.com. We are a movie site made of movie lovers that bring you the latest in movie news, reviews, trailers, and more. Thank you to all of our readers and listeners, and if you find our content interesting, please feel free to share it with your friends. We would also like to thank Vern of the Vern's Video Vanguard for editing the show, and a big thanks to Dylan Soma for providing the theme music. KTZR is a proud member of the LAN Podcasting Network.